reading the Word of God. First from Deuteronomy 10, we'll read verses 12 to 22 before we turn to 1 Timothy 3. Really what number of things we could consider here in Deuteronomy 10, but what is good to see here is that the idea of God's mercy and His call on the church to be agents of His mercy is not a New Testament idea. It is what Israel was to be, particularly as God would often speak of care for the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow. So let's hear these words. The New King James anyway puts a heading over the essence of the law. And surely that's lots of what's summarized here. Deuteronomy 10, beginning at verse 12. As God speaks to Israel, He's speaking to His church. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all His ways, and to love Him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and to keep the commandments of the Lord and His statutes, which I command you today for your good. Indeed, the heaven and the highest heavens belong to the Lord your God, also the earth with all that is in it. The Lord delighted only in your fathers to love them, and He chose their descendants after them, you above all peoples, as it is this day. Therefore, circumcise the foreskin of your heart, and be stiff-necked no longer. For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality nor takes a bribe. He administers justice for the fatherless and widow and loves the stranger, giving him food and clothing. Therefore, love the stranger, for you are strangers in the land of Egypt. You shall fear the Lord your God. You shall serve Him, and to Him you shall hold fast and take oaths in His name. He is your praise, and He is your God, who has done for you these great and awesome things which your eyes have seen. Your fathers went down to Egypt with 70 persons, and now the Lord your God has made you as the stars of heaven in multitude. Let's read. Then also in the New Testament in 1 Timothy 3, we'll read the first 13 verses, and it's really verse 13 that is the focus of the sermon. Speaks first to bishops or elders, and then to deacons. This is a faithful saying. If a man desires the position of a bishop, he desires a good work. A bishop, then, must be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, able to teach, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not covetous, one who rules his own house well, having his children in submission with all reverence. For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest, being puffed up with pride, he fall into the same condemnation as the devil. Moreover, he must have a good testimony among those who are outside, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Likewise, deacons must be reverent, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy for money, holding the mystery of the faith with a pure conscience. But let these also first be tested, then let them serve as deacons, being found blameless. Likewise, their wives must be reverent, not slanderers, temperate, faithful in all things. Let deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their own children and their own houses well. For those who have served well as deacons obtain for themselves a good standing and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. Let's ask the Lord to bless His word. O Lord our God, You have graciously already visited us this morning. You have met with us. You called us into worship. You have provided, Lord, for the ordination of these men to be deacons, and we thank You for that gift to the church, for that care for the church. And we pray earnestly that these men would be faithful in all their calling, Lord, in all their service ahead. And we ask that You would bless this word as a word of encouragement to them, as a word of encouragement to us, as we consider the promises that Christ makes to faithful deacons. We thank You, God, that we can meet and seek and hear Your word. And so bless it to each of us. Give us attentive hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, brothers and sisters, we have this morning heard the calling of the deacon as we have heard the vows that these men have taken before God as we have as we have heard the charge that that was given to them to serve as Christ serves. As we can look at the particular responsibilities of deacons, as it's laid out as our form of government summarizes the biblical role and responsibilities of deacons, as we've just read here in 1 Timothy 3 of the qualities of a man who would be a deacon. All of this puts a great weight. There's a great weight that's born, a heaviness, as it were, of responsibility and holiness and all that comes with carrying the office and being faithful in the office. And so the question will come and has come to these men and will come again and again, as it does for elders and pastors. The very question that Paul asks in 2 Corinthians, where he says, who is sufficient for these things? Who is able to carry this? Who is able to be be faithful in what they've been called to? And the response Paul comes to in chapter 3, verse 5, is not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God. And that is true for Garrett and for Albert, as it is for every office in the church, as it can even apply that beyond that to just living the Christian life, but thinking of church office. And we trust that as God has set apart these men, that and as He will now equip them by His Spirit, a spirit of equipping, to enable them to be faithful in the task, to be growing in their calling, to be doing well, we trust the Holy Spirit to be working through them. And we acknowledge that, and they acknowledge that in all their service, whatever they are able to do that brings honor to the Lord, that is faithful, it comes from God. It's all from the Lord. There's nothing that they just dig deep within themselves to find some faithfulness from within. No, it's all from the Lord. Whatever we're able to do, it is from the Lord. And we give Him the glory and all the credit. But at the same time, the Lord who equips us and gives everything we need is still faithful, and He loves to make promises. He loves to promise rewards to His people for their faithfulness. It is not a reward that we get to take the credit, but it's one He loves to give. And this is kind of these kinds of rewards in the Scriptures that God promises to His people and to those who He sets in office are not mercenary rewards, as if a deacon just kind of, well, the Lord pays the best, so I'm just going to go fight on that side for now, like a mercenary who just kind of goes with whatever side of the battle pays him more and doesn't have any love or any heart for any, doesn't have anything beyond just a desire for money or some other kind of reward. He doesn't have a love for the side on which he's fighting. But these kinds of rewards that the Lord promises are offered to those who are sold out for Christ's service, who are given over to Christ's service, who love Him already and want to serve Him, want to be faithful to Him. And these are rewards that increase their service. These are rewards that God promises will increase their communion with Him and will increase their service, their faithfulness, their ability to serve Him well. These are rewards of faithfulness in office, joy in their labors. And really, for those who want to serve Jesus, who have Him as their highest aim and goal, this is the kind of reward that we should want. That we would want that the Lord will make us better at what we're doing and bringing honor to Him. And that is what we as well as the church ought to be praying for our deacons, ought to be praying that they would know the reward of the Lord as they carry out their office, that they would be faithful and so rejoice in the Lord's gifts to them. And of course, this, as we think of the rewards that come here in verse 13, as we'll unpack that, it is a reminder that the Lord is gracious throughout the Scriptures to make rich promises to all His people, to make rich promises to all of us as we serve Him, as we follow Him. Both of increasing in our walk with Him, that as we increase in joy in the Holy Spirit, as we increase in holiness and sanctification, and the Lord is faithful. So as we hear even this morning, and we go back to the Scriptures, and we are reading the Scriptures, you're doing your devotions, and you're seeing the promises God makes to His people. It's not to shove them off and to think, well, that's just some works righteousness. No, that's not it at all. It's the words of a Savior who loves to bless us. He loves to encourage us. We ought to seek then that we would know those things in our lives, those gifts of His. What we're going to consider here is verse 13. For those who have served well as deacons, obtain for themselves a good standing and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. We're going to consider that a deacon's service well done comes with the Lord's promise of service well rewarded. A deacon's service well done comes with the Lord's promise of service well rewarded. And that really is how we're going to look at this verse. First, this deacon service, the deacon's well done service in Christ, and then the deacon's well rewarded service in Christ. Well, first, the deacon's well done service. Well, what does it mean when it says those who have served well as deacons? Well, we're really going to look at this in two ways. First, it refers to their character and then their conduct. Their character and their conduct, both of which are to be like Jesus himself, or to be like King Jesus. How do they serve well with their character? Well, we read verses 8 to 12, which we're not going to go through in detail, but lays out what kind of character qualifies a man to for the office, this office of deacon. And you can look back through the language. That is a character, that is those that, what is their holiness? What is their walk like before the Lord? How are they serving the Lord? With what faithfulness are they serving the Lord? And this list that we have in verses 8 to 12, we're talking about personal godliness and family godliness and one how one leads their home, is not just a snapshot in time. This is not meant to be just how was their character at that moment that they were elected to be a deacon and ordained. But this is meant to be the character that God has been working in them, building in them. Christ has been applying and molding and shaping them to be more like himself as his work is applied to them. And that's been leading up to this moment. And then it's to be the work that is to continue in their life. It's to continue on. This is the character they're going to continue to be fostering and seeking. And the Holy Spirit is going to continue to work it out so that that character is clearer in their lives, is more defined, is better seen, and greater evidences. It's continuing. And that this character then is not temporary. It's to be ongoing through the whole of their life, through the whole of their service in office. That is why verse 13 says, at the end of this list, it says, for those who have served well. It's speaking of, this is how a deacon ought to be in their character, because when they have served in this manner, here is the reward that they will enjoy. That is, this is something to continue to the end. It's not saying their character just mattered in the past, but it continues to matter, and it affects this reward that the Lord promises. It speaks to their faithfulness, their service well done. And so that there is the need for those in office to take heed to their own hearts, to guard their hearts. You men must guard your hearts. Take heed to the temptations that come in various kinds to Christians, but particularly to those in leadership. Temptations of pride, temptations of self-sufficiency, temptations of annoyance when things don't go your way and you think they should. All kinds of temptations that make the whole service about you, no longer about Christ, which is a reflection of character. You must take heed to your families and continue to give them the priority that Christ calls you to give them, that they would be serving the Lord and faithfully walking with God as well, not to neglect them as if there's some virtue in neglecting your family for the sake of the church. And this kind of character, this kind of service, this well-done service related to character is what's reflected in one of the vows that were taken this morning. Do you promise to endeavor by the grace of God to live your life in Christian witness before the church and in the world? That is, that this must be an ongoing, continuing service to Christ, your holiness. That's why in the book of Proverbs, and again, a powerful verse that will be in Proverbs 4 this afternoon. This is a bit further on in the text, but not one we're going to get to, but this Proverbs 4:23, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. So, brothers and sisters, as you think about your deacons, you will probably be thinking of praying about their conduct. You'll be praying for the issues they're facing. You'll know of a need, a mercy need in the church, and praying for them for wisdom and how to handle that sort of need or whatever it might be. And those are all wonderful things. Be praying for their conduct, but first be praying for their character. More importantly, be praying for their character, because that out of their character is going to flow their conduct and their decisions and the way they handle decisions and the ability to handle decisions. That if their character cannot be remain hidden, they cannot fake their character and think, well, we'll make good decisions anyway. What is inward will inevitably become public. And so you want their character to be holy and righteous and to be continue in that way so that what they do and how they manifest them, their own labor and work, will glorify Christ and serve His church. So as you pray for your deacons, pray especially for their character, for that out of that will flow their conduct. Well, the deacons' well-done service, what does it mean to serve well? It means to maintain a holy and righteous character in Christ, for Christ. And the second thing is, it means that deacons must conduct themselves faithfully, must do their labor well. They must work their work that they're called to do in a faithful manner. Again, from the same vow, do you promise to perform faithfully all the duties of the office? The labors of the deacon are labors of sympathy and service after the example of Christ. That is, there are many ways of service in the church and ways that enhance and advance the gospel and support the work of the elders. As well, it's a ministry of sympathy that reflects the sympathy, the compassion, the love that Jesus has for sinners, for weak, for all kinds of people, for those who are sick, for those who are poor and needy. We see this in Jesus' words we've already considered from Mark 10, came to not to be served, but to serve. We see it throughout the Gospels and His healings and His casting out demons and His many expressions of compassion for all kinds of people. We see it extended through the church. You see, Jesus' compassion is meant to be flow through the church that He established. Though in heaven, yet He still works through His church to show kindness. And history is filled with examples of the Christian church in serving Christ and showing kindness to others. In our form of government, speaking on the deacon, it summarizes really in broad terms the duties of a deacon as in that mercy ministry, that they are to show mercy and care for others. They are to direct and encourage your stewardship as a congregation of the resources God has given you, and encourage and direct tithing and where those monies go and handling the finances of the church. And they're also to take care of the building, the grounds, and the practical and the physical needs of the church in that way. And in all those responsibilities, and they're varied and they're many, and the details are, there's flexibility in the details, as it were, as in things will come up and they need to be handled and taken care of. All those things must be conducted with faithfulness. Alexander Strauch, in his book on the deacon, which is a quote from him in the bulletin as well, but he says, deacons who serve well are conscientious, responsible, hardworking, sacrificial, and effective in their duties. They take initiative, follow through on their duties, and are serious and proficient in their work. They serve from these are men who serve not because they're just going through the motions, but they serve from the heart with love. These are those who focus not on themselves, but on the Lord, who focus not on the issues, but on people. Not on agenda items, but on the very souls that are being cared for and affected by their labor. Paul will say in chapter 4 of his letter to Timothy, and this applies to both character and conduct, he exhorts young Timothy, let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. And so, the deacon's service that's well done is service that is faithful in character, and faithful in its conduct, in the actual work that God calls them to. And so you men who have been ordained are called to give yourselves entirely, entirely to the Lord's service by the Lord's strength, trusting Him to make you faithful, to do your work that is well done. So that is the deacon's well done service. A deacon's well done service, or a deacon's service well done, comes with the Lord's promise of service well rewarded. That's the second part of this verse. If you, as deacons, strive to be faithful in Jesus Christ, they can also rejoice, and you can rejoice that the Lord promises a great and a rich reward. And that comes there for those who have served well as deacons, obtain for themselves a good standing and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. And you can see there the two rewards, a good standing in the faith which is in Christ Jesus and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. And these are the things that faithful deacons obtain from the Lord. That is, they receive, they get from the Lord. And again, these are rewards that the Lord promises. They are, notice that the way the Lord rewards his people are not to appealing to their selfishness, nor to sin for their sinful natures. This is not about giving them some sort of pleasure that they get to spend on themselves, which is so often the reward offered by any kinds of religion, where it becomes about appealing to man's base nature. No, these rewards appeal to man's sanctified nature, appeal to the Christian, the one who loves the Lord. Gospel rewards are not man-centered, they are God-centered. They are not about me, they're about him. They do not make me more successful for my sake, but they make me more successful for his sake, for his glory, more faithful, more joyful, more excited in his service. These are rewards that enable us to live out our life purpose in a greater way than we have to this very point. And that includes the calling of the office to which a man may be called, enables to give more honor. And this, we can look at this, take a step back from just this particular point and think about heaven in general. There are that heaven is heaven because it's about Jesus. But there are many who think that heaven is going to be heavenly and wonderful and amazing because I get to go and spend my eternity doing whatever I have pleasure doing, whatever I want to do, that heaven is about me. And that's the joy of heaven. The joy of heaven is not that it's about you. The joy of heaven is that you finally, fully, freely, completely get to live your life in the presence of God who made you, and you get to enjoy him forever without any sin or anything else interfering. Heaven is heaven because Jesus is there, and you get to have communion with Jesus. Heaven without Jesus is not heaven, it's hell. Heaven. If you're longing for heaven, looking forward to heaven, look forward to heaven because that's where you'll get to spend eternity with the Lord and get to offer yourself to him in a fuller way than you'll ever will here. But here, specifically to this point, the reward is the reward that is offered is that that deacons will grow in their communion with the Lord and grow in their service as deacons. They will grow to love the Lord more and serve him better. And the first thing is that deacons will obtain for themselves a good standing in the faith, which is in Christ Jesus. That is, that they will have a higher rank, a higher office, a higher standing. Before men. This is not speaking, some have misinterpreted this. This is not speaking of that if they serve well as a deacon, that they'll get a promotion to a different office. That's not what it's talking about here. What it's talking about is that they will be faithful, they will be seen to be faithful, and it will lift them up in their work as deacons. That the office will be held in high esteem and where they will be well respected so that they're able to carry out their office and their duties. Well and faithfully. It'll increase their ability and produce better fruit. Now, deacons are worthy of our honor as Christians by virtue of their office. But they also ought to be worthy of our honor by virtue of their conduct. And so this is true of leadership all over. But this is true of deacons as well. So the promise here is that as you serve faithfully, not only will the office, will you be honored as a deacon in because you're in the office set by Christ, so Christ is, people honor you for the sake of Christ, but also because they see and realize that there is a faithful man who is worthy of that office, who is serving for the Lord, and that this is a, that will, as it were, make the road easier for continuing on and expanding and doing the work of the deacon. Because blessed is the man who is able to stand firm with confidence doing the labor, knowing that they are serving the Lord. And blessed is the congregation whose servants, given by God, are faithful in their tasks and are able then to expand and increase and grow in their ability. When you think of what happened in Acts chapter 6, when the first deacons were ordained and installed and sent forth, these were men who were united to Christ. They had faith in Jesus Christ. They were filled with the Holy Spirit, as our officers are to be and are by the grace of God. And then when they went out to do this work, there were troubles in the church. They went out. We hear the word of God spread, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. And the text directly connects that result with the installation of deacons. And those men were faithful, and what happened? They exalted the name of the Lord. They lived faithfully in the office, and it showed, and it was known. It made a difference in the church. And they were looked up to, not to raise them on some pedestal as if they're perfect men and it's all about them. No, but they, being faithful, were able better to do their work. And so, brothers, as you've been called to this office, you are to serve, not so others will think well of you, but so that others will think well of Jesus, that they will be exalted, that they will exalt His name. They will see His compassion and mercy through you. They will be excited for the work that you do because it's the work of Christ that's flowing through you. And if your goal is for the name of Christ to be honored, if your goal and the decisions you make is for Christ to be lifted up and exalted, then it is a great reward. There is no greater reward than that His name is lifted up and exalted by those who see your work and praise the Lord. And you will see the Lord accomplish much through your labor. You will see Him do work through you more than you might have asked or thought. Christ is your goal, rich is your reward. And this is something we as a congregation ought to long for our deacons, that they would know this reward, have a good standing in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. Pray for them to be faithful in their office, even as you are faithful to honor them in that office. They are new, inexperienced, young, they will grow, so be patient, be gracious, be Christians, be praying, be encouraging, pray for them. In this way, seek for their reward, for the sake of Christ's name, for the sake of your benefit and blessing that Christ intends through their service, and for their own benefit and blessing. This is a gracious promise of God. Jesus loves to bless His people. This is the first promise of reward, a good standing in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. And the second is a great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. This is boldness, this is confidence, this is assurance of both their relationship with the Lord and His use of them in the office that they've been called to. This is, just stepping back from even from this being specific for deacons or specific to their work as deacons, this is just a glorious promise of a closer walk with Jesus. This is the glorious promise. If you are faithful in your service, God promises a closer walk with the Lord, greater communion with Christ. That's all we want as Christians, a closer walk with Him. That's where life is. That's where peace is. That's where joy is. That's where satisfaction is. The closer we are to Jesus, the closer, the more we know the benefits and blessings of life in Christ and of true life. That's true living. That's why, this is the quote in the bulletin that I included, but Alexander Strauch again, what a powerful encouragement this reward provides for all present and potential deacons. Could deacons gain anything better than great confidence in their personal faith relationship with Christ, growing deeper and closer to their Savior and Lord? And then out of this flows boldness. Out of this flows a confidence in living for Jesus. And this is true in all of life. This is true. This will be true as you serve the Lord faithfully. This will be true in your leading of your families. It will be true in speaking up for Christ, in proclaiming Christ as a witness to the world, in all the labors of Christian life. But then specifically as deacons, to speak with courage what needs to be said, what is true, to make decisions that are hard, not for the sake of pleasing this person or that person, but for the sake of what's good and best for Christ's honor and for the church. It'll encourage you not to be deciders, decision makers, trying to make the most people happy, which will never is a way of making decisions. Just trying to always just decide who's going to be happiest with us, but to do what's faithful, to do what's right. And it'll make you a bolder witness as you go into the community, as there are needs that you oversee and lead in mercy ministry, in care beyond the walls of the church, in the name of the Lord Jesus. You see, your boldness and your confidence, brothers, is not in your personality. It's not in who you are in some kind of natural way. It's what the Holy Spirit gives you. Yes, the Holy Spirit molds and shapes who God has made us to be as individuals. But it's ultimately in Him that you will have boldness, confidence, assurance, and the courage to stand forward as deacons and to faithfully serve. And then as you are faithful in what the Lord begins to give you, you will be faithful in more. The Lord will give you more. He will increase your capacity. He will increase your responsibility. But with that, He will increase your capacity. Luke 19, now Jesus makes this promise various times throughout the Gospels. We've considered one recently in Luke 19, where Jesus, with the parable of the minas, He says to the one who had earned 10 minas with the one he had been given, He said, "Well done, good servant, because you were faithful in very little, have authority over 10 cities." Jesus goes on to say, "For I say to you that to everyone who has will be given. From him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him." As you show yourself faithful a little, the Lord will increase your capacity and give you more opportunity to serve Him. And that, again, will continue to replicate this reward in your own life. A close walk with Jesus and greater ability to serve Him so that His name is lifted up. This is the way the Lord rewards His people. This is what a reward. This is amazing. This is the work of our Lord. A deacon's service well done comes with the Lord's promise of service well rewarded. The call to be a deacon is a high calling. It's a very high calling. And it comes with the gracious promises from King Jesus, a good standing and great boldness in the faith. Brothers, Albert and Garrett, Jesus has prepared you for this call. And then He has called you to this office. And then He promises His Holy Spirit. He gives you the Holy Spirit to equip you for your labor. There is a cost to serving. You will be tested in office. You will be tempted to be selfish and to make it about yourself. You'll be tempted in many ways that you perhaps have never been tempted before in your own life to this point. But the call is to, that first the encouragement is that Jesus Christ will always be faithful to you. The call in your life is to always be faithful to Jesus. And you will continue to know His faithfulness, and the increase of His faithfulness will continue to be poured out on you. And you can take this reward, you can take this verse, you can pray for this reward, looking to the Lord, knowing that the answer to that prayer is already yes, because He's the one who made the promise. And He promises that whatever you pray in My name, according to My will, you will have. And so you can pray, and we can pray with you, that you will know this reward for the glory of God. And so we as a church are to seek this for them. We are to serve them with our prayers. We are to rejoice in their success and in their blessing. And this is also just a reminder as we conclude our time. This is a reminder of grace for all. There is reward always in serving Jesus Christ. You don't have to be in church office to know the blessings of His rewards, to know the blessing of nearness to Jesus. If you are not in Jesus Christ, ask yourself this afternoon, or ask yourself now and then throughout this day, what can the world offer me that is as rich and as full and as satisfying as what God offers me in Jesus Christ? What have I ever gained? What has ever been promised to me? What has ever come to me that I had that has so satisfied my soul? And I know the answer, if you're not in Jesus Christ, is going to be nothing. There is nothing that's ever given me such satisfaction. It's ever given me such joy, such peace, and nothing more than a fleeting moment of pleasure that has disappeared quickly, gone overnight, if it's lasted even that long. Only Jesus Christ satisfies, for He made us for Himself, and if we're serving and looking for things outside of Him, we will never be satisfied. The call in your life, then, is to seek Him. To serve Him, to give your life in repentance of not serving Him, and then to seek Him, to pray for that work of the Spirit, to bring Him into your life so that you will serve Him and you will know that satisfaction of what it is to serve Jesus. Trust Him, serve Him, and then be that constant strengthening of Him to serve Him more. That is our calling as Christians as well, reading the promises, trusting the promises. Lord, make me Give me satisfaction more and more. And strengthen me for Your service. That Jesus Christ is faithful to equip us, and He'll equip us and strengthen us to the very end, where we will hear those words, by His grace, as he lovingly and faithfully rewards, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your Lord. So may our God bless our deacons. May he bless each one of us. May he do so for his own name's sake. Let's pray. Oh Lord God, thank you. Thank you for promises given, promises undeserved, but lovingly given, promises you delight to make and to fulfill. So fulfill this word in the lives of Garrett and Albert as they serve. Make them faithful in character and conduct. And so, Lord, may they know the richness of this blessing, of Lord, of a good standing and great boldness in the faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And may we all, praying this for them, rejoicing with them in it, and know the experience, the very blessings of their faithful service. And Lord, we pray that our community would know the blessings of their faithful service, and as they oversee that service, and we serve under them and follow their lead and are involved in the various ways of showing the mercies of Christ to others. We do pray that you would also, Lord, bring each one here to full and complete satisfaction in Jesus Christ alone, forsaking the world, forsaking the hollow promises of the world, and finding in Christ the only one who satisfies, who reaches our deepest needs, who fills us with himself, who brings us back to God. And so, Lord, we pray for that work by your Spirit amongst us all. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.